Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Diary, October 18, 97. Corranbong, New South Wales, Australia. October 1 to 31, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in 4 Bio 333, 337 to 338. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales. Thursday. My head pained me severely. Sharp pains darted through my head. The night before, I did not sleep longer than 1:30. I tried hard to close the door of my mind, but it would not be closed. I retired Thursday night at 7:00 and could not sleep until after 1:00 a.m. Sharp pains in my head worried me, and I was much distressed. I fell asleep at last and had very troublesome dreams. I awoke at 3:30. That ended my night's sleep. There are reports circulating that will be to the injury of souls. I sometimes plan what I had best do to meet these talkers and set things before them as they are or are not. I dread to do this, for I have not strength. The words are such that if the talkers had any consecrated reasoning powers, they would know better than to suggest such a fallacy. This kind of talk evidences how little they know of her whom they call Sister White, and how little is their estimate or appreciation of her work. These poor souls become excited and love to talk, and they say perverse things which sow in minds seeds which will bear their harvest. Are these the ones of whom Christ says, "Ye are my witnesses"? Isaiah 43, verse 10. Is this according to the divine counsels? Will those who are listening every day to the living oracles of God hear with a purpose to give entrance to the words of God? Or will they be surface ground or stony ground hearers? Will they make a mistake to gather up the chaff and pass by the precious treasures of truth as if they were of no consequence? Will there be those as students in the school who will emulate the tattling tongue, the wicked tongue to send broadcast evil seed? Will not all be determined they will promote the honor and glory of God by sound speech, seasoned with grace? As each opportunity of life occurs, God requires of every soul the appropriate action which belongs to that period, and if we neglect it, He will not hold us guiltless. God lives and reigns. Sunnyside, Corranbong. Thank the Lord, I have slept unusually well until 4:30. My head is still weak, but I am thankful it is much better. I dare not attend meeting this Sabbath, for I have not strength. I must keep as quiet as possible. This day was the celebration of the ordinances. Today, 15 were baptized. All but one were students attending the school. Their minds had been exercised upon the subject of baptism, and we were glad they did take their stand and go forward in baptism. We think one more will make a decided stand before the school shall close. It holds 1 week longer. This day, my mind has been exercised especially upon the closing scenes of the life of Christ and His burial. I understood Sister Wilson designed to go forward in baptism. I did not feel altogether clear in this matter. If she had backslidden from God and done according to the sins that the wicked man doeth, then there was necessity for repentance, faith in Jesus Christ as the sin pardoner, and baptism. These are the requisite steps in conversion. But we must not go back and retrace our steps unless we have reason to do this. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We feel very grateful to our Heavenly Father that the school has been a success. Some will join the army of the Lord's workers and go out into the highways and byways of life. Some will go forth to conduct schools, some to live out the precepts of the Word in the home circle. "Go home to thy friends," said Christ to one whom He had healed, "and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." Mark 5, verse 19. He obeyed the Lord. How many will show in their characters that the Lord has given them pardon and peace? All who have the genuine work wrought in the soul will evidence in their characters that they are born of God, turned from darkness to light. Sunnyside, Corranbong. I thank the Lord my Redeemer this morning that I have rested well during the night. I slept with few interruptions until 2:00 a.m. I tried to compose myself to sleep, but my mind is too active. I could not do this. I arose and dressed and committed the keeping of my soul to my Heavenly Father, pleading for physical strength, mental clearness, and spiritual grace that I may honor the Lord, because I walk and work in His counsel. What could I do without my help which cometh from God? I love Him. I love the Lord because He first loved me. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales.
I could not sleep longer than 2:30. I arose and dressed, and then sought the Lord for His presence through the day. I then wrote upon the life of Christ. I feel so intensely over this subject that I am able to write but little at a time. But I know the Lord helps me. I have had serious fears in regard to my left eye and my left cheekbone, which was hurt some 2 years ago. I have suffered much pain and a great amount of heat at times in the bone, but I sought the Lord most earnestly, and I know that He has compassionated my case and heard my prayer, and has healed that affliction because I asked Him. I wrote a short letter to Sister Miller, who is now desponding in her mind and seems unable to trust in the Lord. Poor, dear, afflicted one, may the Lord help her is my most earnest desire and my prayer. We went to the station to take Sarah to the train. She goes to Sydney today to find a room for me during camp meeting. We found Herbert White very bad, suffering with bringing through his stomach teeth. James Henry does not suffer, but little Herbert is a very sensitive child. Poor little fellow, his nerves are unstrung. I knew it would be best for the child and best for the mother for him to ride out. He would not cry in the carriage, but he could not keep still. His nerves were twitching, and he was in constant motion. But he fell asleep, and the jerking of the nerves stopped. We were out 2 hours. Sister Wilson and I took charge of the babies. She drove. I had an interview or visit with Elder Haskell. Read to him writings in regard to Haggai, Arise, etc., and about allowing debts to remain on the church buildings. Maud Skinner is here sewing for Marion. While conversing with Elder Haskell, finished the babies' dresses. Sunnyside, Currumbong. This morning I looked at my watch and saw it was only 2:00, but there was no more sleep for me. I retired early at 8:00. I rose and dressed and made my supplications to my Heavenly Father. My soul must take hold upon God. I must have His presence every moment. He can help me write. He can give me clearness of thought. We are living in a peculiarly solemn period of time. Every facility that Satan can employ will be used to strengthen his satanic schemes. If the church will now realize that she must find her position and understand that the Lord alone can strengthen and shield and hide her in the cleft of the rock, then she is safe from the delusions and deceptive workings of the powers of darkness. Christ will be with His faithful ministers. Christ will instruct His earthly potentates. Christ is King of Zion. Christ is above all. He retains faithful watchmen on the church's battlements, whose voices are heard in warning and entreaty in times when everything is in unrest. Apostasy and blasphemy will not decrease but increase. Now is the time for Zion, God's commandment-keeping people, to understand where is the source of their strength. Every shield and protection is His. His words I want in my mouth. Sarah came home from Sydney on the 8:00 train. She was not able to secure the room near the campground, but we will not be worried over the matter. The Lord has a place for us, and we will not trouble. Sunnyside, Currumbong. Work on meeting house progressing. This morning I awakened at 3:30. I did not get to rest until 9:00. I thank my Heavenly Father for the strength and health He has given me. I wish to use every jot of my ability to the glory of the Lord. Our chapel is nearly completed. It will be done this week. We have had favorable weather. The blessing of the Lord has attended the work from the beginning to the present time. The workmen were waiting 10 days for lumber, but notwithstanding this, the house will be done in time. We have every reason to praise the Lord with heart and soul and voice. We feel a decided interest in the school. The students are having special advantages. The truth comes forth in simple, clear language from the servant of God, Elder Haskell. The message of truth and compassion and love wells forth as a stream from the waters of life. Although one can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if he has not the spirit and power of the truth in the heart, if he has not a living connection with God, this is a failure. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. The voice may speak burning words. Because the speaker is indeed worked by the Holy Spirit, burning words come forth from his lips that cannot fail to reach hearts. It is the Lord that makes his words the power of God. He will work with human instrumentality to give additional impetus to the work, and if there is cooperation with those who are advantaged, God will, through the united effort, put everything in motion and triumph over every obstacle that may present itself. What victories may we not have if self is hid with Christ in God? Oh, could there be a whole host of young men, sanctified through the truth they have been privileged to hear, who would gird themselves with the whole armor of God, and in His strength enter the whitening fields, all ready for the harvest? We want a new life. The cause of God at this time needs men, self-sacrificing, wholly converted young men to take hold of the work. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I have slept until 2:30, and I can sleep no more. I have been enabled to use my brain to write some things in regard to the death and resurrection of Christ. This is a great subject, and I am incapable of expressing all that I would. I hope the students will consider this great subject. This is a subject I must impress upon the minds of the students. How many will increase in faith under the precious opportunities they now have? Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. There will be seeming impossibilities that will seem to bar our way, but we must not fail nor be discouraged. Faith says God is able, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4, verse 21-25. 5, 1. We want the students to understand. The light of full and varied experiences shines full upon their pathway. Will they walk in the light? Will they improve every talent that they may contribute to the welfare of their fellow men? Will they multiply their talents through the energetic, proper use of the gifts God has entrusted to them? The power of the truth upon human minds, in the church and out of the church, is just what the zeal, purity, and intelligence of its members make it. One single individual may apparently be a humble man, but if he is consecrated to God, soul, body, and spirit, the Holy Spirit enlarges his conception of duty and inspires him with a burning zeal for Christ. He will communicate the light and grace of God to the whole church. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I arose at 3 a.m. My soul earnestly longs after God. I pressed my petition to the throne for help and grace, and the peace of resting in Christ, which I greatly desire to have constantly. This is a very important time with us. We are closing up the book, Life of Christ, and the many letters I am called to write make it next to impossible to get through with the book. I am so anxious to see Willie White. I feel very much disappointed that he is not here at the present time. I wish to have his decisions upon many points. Elder Haskell visited us today, and we had profitable conversation together. We felt so thankful that the chapel would be ready for dedication at the close of the school. 1 week from next Sunday, the chapel will be dedicated. Many delegates will be here to the dedication of our church. By request, I consented to speak Sabbath before the Sunday dedication. I am so thankful that the much talk of our enemies against Kurenbong must now be made of none effect. I am more thankful to God than I can express that students and teachers and all who are in any way connected with our school should feel their hearts full of praise and gratitude to God that the Lord has given us the victory over the speech of tongues. the Lord hath wrought. Angels of God, I have been assured, are on the ground and in the school, and I am of good courage that all will appreciate the labors of the teachers and speak in praise rather than in censure. They will do this if the word of God abideth in them. I am sure Sister Haskell has labored as matron with her whole soul devoted to the work, to do her service as unto God, with a single eye to His glory. Brother and Sister Haskell both have wrought as if in sight of the universe of heaven, and the angels of God have cooperated with them. They have both had a depth of experience in the work God has given them to do. They have been supplied with rules of action and principles on which to work from the source of all wisdom, fitting them for the place which they have occupied. It is rather a trying place for Brother Haskell, but he does not complain. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales. I thank my Heavenly Father. I have rested through the night and am refreshed. I could not sleep after 2 o'clock. I feel stirred to write some things upon the life of Christ. This book is now about completed. I am deeply sorry that W.C. White cannot be here to hear the chapters read. I attended meeting and spoke in the crowded upper chamber to all who could be in so small a compass. I gave a very plain, decided testimony. I dwelt upon the trial and suffering of Christ. I tried to present before them the importance of standing in the strength of Jesus. My text was Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 17. I impressed upon their consideration that temptations will come, permitted of God to test and prove us. Without these trials, we should only be weaklings. When the student shall leave the school, they will not have all the helps that they had been blessed with during the term of school. Their duties had been kept before them in scriptural lessons, and we were very grateful to God that the efforts made in behalf of the students had not been in vain. They had responded to the painstaking efforts exercised in their behalf. These young men and young women came to this school in Avondale, Kooranbong, with but little idea of what they came for or really needed. The Lord knew their necessities. The Lord loved their souls, and He would receive them as His students in His school to learn of Him, the greatest teacher the world ever knew. The Lord has been helping His servants to be mouthpieces in giving instruction for Him. Oh, that many more could have listened to the instruction these youth have had the privilege to hear, the most precious things out of the Scriptures. But now comes the test of character. You have had your trials. Whom will you every one choose, to be on the Lord's side, or to follow your own devising? Will you refuse to follow the light? The turning point of your life had come when you were all called upon to decide in regard to the course you would pursue. Will the weight of your mind and heart be cast into the scale of evil, demanding a heavy counterweight to keep the balance, which means work, decided work for the teachers, or will it be surrendered to do whole-souled service to God, whose we are and to whom we must give an account? We thank the Lord that He has given to you, and to everyone, His grace to choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of you have, since attending the school, decided no longer to manifest unwillingness and a want of sincere piety, but to lead a life of self-denial, of purity, and earnest, persevering effort to overcome the defects of your individual character. The real difficulty has been a want of heart work, of sincere, earnest seeking of God. All pretense is vain. Deficiencies in human character can only be detected and overcome by self-examination and seeking the Lord in prayer. Obstacles in hereditary and cultivated tendencies that seem impossibilities may be overcome by steady, determined effort, working to the point, and never, never giving up. It is life, spiritual life, or death with you. Persevere in your efforts. If you fail again and again, do not be discouraged. Imperfections in education as to what constitutes true manliness and true womanliness in the Christian life is the cause of many failing and falling. When you leave the school, you will need to place yourselves daily under the watch care of God. Never suppose you are sufficient to be wise and good of yourself. God will take charge of you if you will commit your souls to His keeping. Do not ever undervalue the impressions you have received during this term of school, as the Scriptures have been opened to you and precious light has shone forth in distinct and clear lines. Be on guard and read the text I have been seeking to impress upon your minds in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12. Read also James 4, verse 2, 8, Some of you will be called to the canvassing field. You can, through earnest prayer to God, surround your souls with an atmosphere that will be a savor of life unto life. Then the angels of God will walk with you and commune with you by the way. These heavenly messengers will impress the hearts of the people whom you shall address, and they will give you the right words to speak at the right time, and God will give you success if you pray and believe. The precious season that you have had during this school period, by acting on the light given, is designed in the providence of God for giving you an experience, in spiritual and intellectual preparation, to enter the canvassing field or to work in other lines in doing God's service. Be sure that the still, small voice, which indicates your duty, is heeded. We are settling important decisions for eternity. The path of duty should be settled with prayerful deliberations. It is an important work that is before us. The Apostle Paul speaks in Romans 5 of some things we need to earnestly consider. Read this whole chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1. This privilege granted to us is not half appreciated. This peace, the result of the faith that justifieth, is of more value to us than the possession of houses and lands and gold and silver and precious stones. Through Jesus Christ alone, we may have possession of that peace that the world cannot give or take away. The education of years, in order for men and women to do, as they suppose, a great work, is a failure if it is of that kind which hinders them from doing that which is essential in the supposed smaller duties in life. Such teachers need to become learners before they can become teachers. Love to God is the essential element in the experience of the sons and daughters of God. Love asks not glory. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity is kind. Love to God and our fellow men thinks of doing works of kindness and finds its joy in doing good, in blessing others. The Lord Jesus could condescend to the doing of the smallest acts of Christian duty, which many have been educated to consider menial service, or which they were ashamed. The small things which someone must do are despised, but love for God and our fellow men knows no contempt. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is kind and unselfish. We are to educate ourselves to consider nothing too small and insignificant which is of use and help to others. Love measures not by the greatness or conspicuousness of the work done, but by the help which it can afford. Our Lord's example teaches us that He called nothing inferior that needed to be done. He labored as earnestly in the lesser as in the larger works in His life. When apparently commonplace duties had to be done in his home, in private as well as public life, he cheerfully did that which he saw some other one must do if he did not do it. He could gather up the litter and shavings and put them in the right place. The simple, obscure work was never overlooked by him. Nothing was too small for his notice. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales. I arose at 3 a.m., I am asking my Heavenly Father for a larger portion of His Holy Spirit. Without me, said Christ, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. If we move forward in any service without the earnest seeking of wisdom from God, we shall make failures. But if we keep the mind stayed upon Christ, who is our efficiency, we will be strong in His strength and the power of His might. Zechariah 3 and 4 need to be carefully studied, for there is much in these chapters that is essential for us in these last days. Chapter 4, in figure, presents the encouragement that we may have a strength not of our own. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 6. This is a lesson all have to learn who have any connection with the sacred work of God. It was quite a trial to us to have those, who did not help advance the work at all, act as criticizers to watch and weigh the actions of those who were willing and felt compelled to set to work. After bearing these hindrances in silence, the Lord gave me a message for these men and women who were doing the work Satan had put in their heads to do. As for these disorderly, selfish, cowardly, unbelieving, talkative ones, they, in the providence of God, left. We had held them for their own good, but now we were educated of the Lord to let them go. The word came to me, if they stay here, such is their self-determination in a wrong course of action, such their want of the Spirit of God in time of action. They will not do God's work intelligently, but will, with their false ideas, prejudice, and subvert others. We were relieved after these most active ones, in talking and doing nothing, took themselves away. Then the work advanced, and now we see the blessing of the Lord in the chapel being built. If ever a people should have naught but the praise of God in their hearts, it is these who are located in Kurenbong. They should look to all that God has done and exclaim, "What hath God wrought?" The Bible is the expression of divine wisdom and announces to all human intelligence the true method of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I thank my Heavenly Father for rest in sleep. I awoke at 3 o'clock a.m. I feel deeply the need of casting my helpless soul upon Jesus Christ. He is my helper. He is my all and in all. I am weak as water without the Holy Spirit of God to help me. I tried to write, but I have a weary brain. The tax is too great. Receive the American mail and feel very sorry to learn W.C. White will not be here for several days yet, and we need him so much. We need to counsel with him in regard to many things, especially the book, The Life of Christ. I read the letters from my sons Edson and Willie with interest. I would be very much pleased if it is the will of our Heavenly Father that he, Willie, should be here as soon as possible. Nearly 10 months has he been away from Kurenbong. The Lord has hitherto helped me in my great distress, when I knew not what to do. When I could not sleep, I have been comforted in the light given that I need be in no uncertainty, for he had provided help for the school in those who would keep the way of the Lord, and do justice and judgment, that his word shall be in their hearts and in their mouths to communicate to others. They will not call right wrong or light darkness. This word, the living oracles of God, is perfectly adapted to all circumstances and wants. It contains the Word of God and makes known to us the decisions of the highest intelligences in all matters concerning the duties of man to God and to his fellow man. These practical lessons cannot be learned elsewhere, and therefore all who have had the benefits of our school should consider themselves highly favored. Some will think of something to find fault with because of the restrictions that would not let them do as they pleased, which they had done all through their home life. And yet their complaints will be of little effect, for those who know the light given in reference to our schools will see the necessity of following the light God has given. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I feel very grateful to my Heavenly Father for health and strength. If I could be relieved from writing more, I would be very grateful to my Heavenly Father. I seek for His help and His grace, both alone and at the family altar. My heart is full of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord that I am able to get around with alacrity. My limbs are not crippled, as I feared they would be, after my severe sickness in Preston 11 months. Good is the Lord to preserve me, that I can still have clearness of mind to do Him service. When I am weak, then am I strong, in a strength not my own. I devoted myself to writing, and then at 5:30, Sarah McKenterfer and I went to Martinsville to get oranges. We agreed to go Tuesday. Our work kept us until that hour. It was dark when we reached Martinsville. We found they had not gathered the oranges from the tree, forgetting our arrangement. We turned toward home. The moon was not up, and it was quite dark, but we had no accident. We arrived home at 8:00. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I could not sleep past 2 o'clock a.m. I am thankful to our Heavenly Father for rest and sleep during the night. My health is good. The feelings of exhaustion have passed away. If my head could have rest from writing, I would be very thankful. I have reason to thank God. He has heard my prayer, and the left eye that has pained me so much is relieved, so that I can write day after day. The left cheekbone threatened to trouble me. I had pain in it, and there was swelling that I did not like. I injured it 2 years ago in falling, but the Lord has heard my prayers. I believed I received the things I asked for, and I did receive the blessing of God. I read several pages of manuscript for my new book. Received word from Brother Haskell, who was at Sydney yesterday, that Brother and Sister Farnsworth, Brother and Sister Starr, Brother and Sister Robinson, Sister Graham, and Sister Ingalls were coming on the noon train. We can take, May and I, the three couples, leaving Brother and Sister Robinson to go to the school. They have expected them. Others will crowd into the school, and we will have our guests at the very beginning. Brother and Sister Farnsworth, Brother and Sister Starr, Brother Hansen from West Australia, and Brother Crothers, and Sisters Graham and Ingalls took dinner with us at our table. After dinner, I had a visit with them. Brother and Sister Robinson came in with their little girl, and we were very glad to meet them. We had a pleasant visit, for we all had important matters to talk over in reference to one great question, the advancement of the truth in this country, and the work done here in Corinbong. Elder Daniels came with Brother Robert Hare from West Australia. This was a most interesting meeting. We felt grateful to God that we had the privilege. We miss Willie. He is not in our midst. We may meet him Sunday or Monday. Meanwhile, we must be patient. Sunnyside, Corinbong, New South Wales. We are having much to be thankful for in meeting our dear friends again. I thank the Lord that I slept well last night. I slept until 4 o'clock a.m. Praise the Lord for this. I will praise His holy name, for He hath done wonderful things, whereof we are glad. Brother and Sister Starr make their home at Willie White's. We have to find places for all we can, for many more will come who will have to be cared for. We lodge 5, and 2 more will find lodging room. That is the best we can do. Sunnyside, Corinbong. Slept not as well during the night. We learned the decision is made to meet in the new chapel. We fear the upper room will not be able to hold the parties that shall visit Corinbong to be at the dedication. Sunnyside, Corinbong. I slept until 3 o'clock. My heart goes out in prayer to God that His blessing may rest upon us at the close of the school. I spoke to the people in the afternoon from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 to 17. The Lord strengthened me to speak to the people. We then had a very interesting social meeting. The Lord was in our midst, and this was the first meeting held in the chapel. We knew the upper chamber would not contain the people. It was the first time I had seen the building since the piles for the foundation had been laid. I was pleased with the work done, which was very nice, skillful work. I was surprised at the neatness and skill of the work. The Lord is good. He was with the workers. They did with willingness push the work, and it did advance. For the Lord gave not only inspiration to finish the work, but signified His presence was with the workers, to push with them. This was a demonstration to all living in Corinbong, and to all who had any part in the work, to show there is no need of such slow, dilatory movement, that whatever the workers may do, if they put heart and willingness into the work, the dilatory, sleepy movements will be overcome, and the great length of time occupied in building need not be. Time is a talent entrusted of God, and those who are paid for their work should work and not exhaust their talent in using their tongues. It is not the time to devote to conversation and waste movements that hinder their own working and the work of those who listen to them. Silence is eloquence, and expedition and skill brought into using of the hands when doing service are the training essential for all workers doing service for God. Many who claim to be Christians need to reform decidedly in the lack of speed in advancing the work. It is not honest before God to consume so much time. Sunnyside, Corinbong, New South Wales. Dedication of New Church. Sunday afternoon, the dedication service for the new church was held. The house was crowded full of people. Oh, how thankful we were that there was a building we could dedicate to God, free from debt. Brother Haskell gave the dedicatory discourse, and I was called upon to offer prayer at the close of the service. A contribution was then taken up for the missionary work, and £5 was given for that purpose. For this country place, it was doing well. I do not think the city churches would have done better. All the ministers took part in the meeting in the evening, and their testimonies were good and right to the point. Then the students brought in their testimonies promptly. The presence of the Lord was in the meeting, and all seemed to enjoy the meeting very much. Sunnyside, Corenbong. I was not able to get to rest until 11 o'clock. Then I could not sleep longer than 2:30. I had rather a hard night. Brethren Salisbury and Falkhead came to converse with me upon some things important for consideration. I could not give them any light in regard to this matter, as to what the laborers should do in vacation. We had quite a lengthy visit. No sooner had they left than Elder Haskell called, and we had a visit with him. We see many things that need to be carefully and prayerfully considered. Let the Lord indicate our duty. I was quite unwell through the day. Yet a number called to see our home, that had, they reported, been called a mansion by Brother McCullough. They were much surprised at the narrow, contracted rooms, which they said ought to be much larger. Sunnyside, Corenbong. I am not well, but feel thankful to our Heavenly Father that we had excellent weather Sabbath and Sunday. We have had showers Monday and Tuesday. May White's family, Sarah McInterfer, Maud Hare, and Minnie Hawkins all went to the station to take the train at Corenbong. There was a large amount of baggage for the campground. I shall not be able to leave my home until Thursday morning. I am trying to use my strength carefully and prudently, and recover, if possible, that strength that will enable me to do service to God through the meeting. Sunnyside, Corenbong. I slept better last night, for which I am very thankful to the Lord, for His mercy and loving kindness to me. Elder Haskell called in the forenoon to visit a short time. We had him as a guest at our table to dinner. My time is devoted to preparations to leave home Thursday morning. I must do everything myself, then I shall know what is done and what is not done. I shall avoid confusion. This is more difficult for me than anything else, because it confuses my thoughts. A letter came from Sarah and a telegram from W.C. White stating that he was in Sydney. Had a pleasant trip. Thus this long separation is ended. I am rejoiced that the Lord has protected W.C. White, and during the 10 months of his absence, no harm has befallen him. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. I awoke quite early, at 2:00, and arose and dressed and sought the Lord in prayer. Then I prepared the things I must take, as this can be done better when there is no one around to ask questions. Elder Haskell drove the horse with the luggage to the station. His wife and other students were in his own carriage. Two were walking on foot. We took in Sister Robinson. Sister Robinson and child were with Sister Haskell. We had special attention given us, secured a good ladies' compartment by the kindness of the station agent. I had cushioned seats, and my pillows laid upon the seat made me a comfortable bed. Sister Robinson and her child, and Sister Haskell and I were all the occupants in our section. I slept some and rested comfortably all the way. The change at Strathfield I always dread, but we got along very well through the matter of traveling down 2 pair of stairs and up another 2 pair of stairs to get on the opposite platform to take the train to Stanmore. We arrived at the camp after about 5 minutes' walk. We found 60 tents up, and still others were to be pitched. We had the privilege of all dining together, W.C. White's family and our family. It was good to sit at the same table on this reunion. We have had little opportunity to converse as yet with Willie, but that must come by and by. Our first public meeting commenced at 7:30. No notices had been put in the papers. Notices had been printed, and quite a number engaged in the work of distributing them. It was quite a surprise when the crowds began to flock into the large tent. The mammoth tent was full, and the crowds were standing on the outside 6 feet deep. All were respectful, and there was no confusion. Elder Daniels gave a discourse upon practical godliness. The attention was good. All seemed surprised to see such a village of tents go up so quietly in a short time. Many commendable remarks were made. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. I slept well last night. I attempted to do a little writing, but had not much more than made a beginning when Willie came to my room to see if I wished to attend morning meeting. I certainly wished to go. We found a very good congregation assembled. Prayer was offered by several of our ministers, and the Lord seemed to indict the prayers offered. Then excellent testimonies were born. All seemed to be in earnest and determined to submit themselves to God to be worked by the Holy Spirit. All the testimonies were of a hearty, cheerful character. Their lips were expressing the sentiments of their hearts, bringing forth good things from the treasure of the heart. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. Evening after the Sabbath. I slept well during the night, and I praise God for this blessing of sleep. I learned the tent was full last evening. Several ministers spoke, and the meeting was interesting. We have never seen so large an interest at the very first meeting as we have seen on this occasion. There had been notices distributed, but nothing in notices published in the papers the first evening. Thursday night, the tent was crowded, and outside the tent, the people who could find no place within the tent were standing 6 feet deep. Elder Daniel spoke with much freedom. Friday morning, there was a large number out to the social meeting, and after a season of prayer, testimonies were promptly born. Elder Haskell occupied the time in the forenoon after the Sabbath school exercises. The tent was full. I occupied the time in the afternoon. The tent was full, and many were obliged to stand on the outside. I spoke from 1 John 3, first four verses. May the Lord bless the word spoken is the prayer of many. Oh, how much we need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, that all may behold God's unerring wisdom, unblemished truth, spotless holiness, and the tender mercies that He bestows upon the children of men. All should love God and behold Jesus Christ in His self-sacrificing love in its strongest light. Let all who love the Lord keep the eye fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. Let us consider the words of Paul in commendation of the Thessalonians. He told them that their faith grew exceedingly, and the charity of every one of them toward each other abounded. Yes, there is a continual growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. God does not mock His people or trifle with them, when it is written, "The righteous shall wax stronger and stronger." We are to have keen perception of what God has done for our souls, and daily to become His witnesses. But hope thou in God. A day of greater things is attainable, and we may well question our Christ-likeness if we do not aspire after the highest Christian principles. If divine, they will manifest a constant tendency to grow and bear much fruit. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. This is an important day. I wish I was not on the program to speak. I am not well. The Lord can strengthen me. He has done this many times. Elder Haskell spoke to the people in the forenoon with the assurance of the Spirit. He was interrupted twice by men asking questions, but he treated the matter wisely and aptly. The tent was nearly full. In the afternoon, the tent was full. All that could crowd in did, but a wall of people were standing on the outside. I did not tremble because of my weakness, but I put my trust in God that He would help me, as He had done on so many occasions. I had strength given me of God. I spoke upon temperance, the Lord Jesus passing over the ground where Adam fell, and His redeeming Adam's disgraceful, sinful fall, by bearing the test of temptation upon the point of appetite in behalf of the sinful race. He was our sin-bearer. He stands before God bearing our condemnation, undeserving, while we stand before God, if we receive Christ as our personal Savior, justified from sin with the imputed righteousness of Christ, although unworthy and undeserving. I spoke upon the liquor question and the tobacco habit. It was the work of the enemy to pervert the senses of the human race, that they shall not discern between good and evil, the sacred and the common. Attention was given from the first to the last. Elder Farnsworth spoke in the evening to a larger crowd than was represented in the afternoon, and his words were in the power and Spirit of God. Oh, how earnestly should our prayers ascend to God, that the mist and veil of darkness may be rent away from many minds at this meeting. From the first up to this time, it exceeds in interest any previous meeting. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. Monday morning. I passed a restless night, but I felt desirous to attend the morning meeting. We found a goodly number, more than we usually have at our morning meetings. There were matters of importance that were brought in by Brother Robert Hare. He was deeply moved as he talked and confessed mistakes that he had made. His talk was well wet down with tears. There was much feeling in the congregation. Many were weeping. I said a few words, and the meeting closed. I attended the Union Conference meeting, but was not able to bear the light and the heat of the tent. Had a long talk with Dr. Caro. He is trying to do what he can to present hygienic principles of living and health foods. He spoke with acceptance Saturday evening upon the subject of health. Today he had 300 children in the tent and gave them a lecture upon health. This will be the means of interesting the parents. Had 1 hour's talk with Brother and Sister Haskell. They had received encouraging letters from Africa, which they read to me. And now Dr. Caro talks this evening upon the health question. The people need instruction in regard to the care of their physical structure. The neglect of proper consideration in keeping in a wholesome, healthful condition all our God-entrusted faculties is bringing much debility and great suffering upon the human structure. The thoughtless transgression of nature's laws entails a penalty which cannot be avoided. The question is, what can be brought to bear upon young men and young women to awaken them to a knowledge of their accountability and responsibility to God for the entrusted talents with which He has endowed them, to be well employed to do His service? The beginning of the formation of habits is to be carefully and sacredly guarded, from childhood upward to manhood and womanhood. Everything depends upon the regulation of the thoughts. One can enrich and glorify his mind by keeping his thoughts stayed upon God. He will choose the good and refuse the evil, and others will follow his example. He would degrade and debase the mind by unholy thoughts which lead to impure actions. This life we live is determining our future eternal destiny. Then take heed to obey the word of God. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. Again, the morning meeting was large, and I felt the necessity of presenting the importance of taking heed that our words shall not be of a character to dishonor God. Words are a valuable talent, to be used intelligently to the glory of God. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12, verse 37. We are seeking for a life that measures with the life of God. Then we are to learn the lessons of what we should cherish that is worth being perpetuated, the attributes we may cultivate which will not perish when every evil purpose, thought, and action shall have an end. Let us entertain thoughts that are profitable to the health of soul and body, that are esteemed of God because they flow forth from God. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He gives us unsearchable, inexhaustible, and eternal riches. He who has given us the faculties to enter upon the grand work Christ has laid out for us in His life character will not only be the Alpha, but the Omega of the life work. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Romans 2, verse 6-7. There is not any excuse for our unbelief, not any excuse for a feeble, dwarfed spirituality. We must grow in grace, grow in spiritual knowledge, grow in greater intelligence. Our resources are simply without limit. For when God gave Christ the great gift of heaven, He gave all the treasures of heaven. Then let us honor God, who hath made every provision for us, that we shall not falter, that we shall not fail or be discouraged. Let us press forward. The mark of the prize of the high calling is before us. Being justified freely, not stintedly, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3, verse 24. Ephesians 2, verse 4-8. Titus 3, verse 5-8. We have the abundant assurance that we may give all the consolation possible to others, because we receive of Him whom we love, to impart the precious gifts to others. We are not to talk one word of hopelessness or of doubt, because all these words we shall speak in this direction create feelings which dishonor God and exalt and honor Satan's power. The Lord Jesus expects His followers to be complete in Him. Then we can be His living witnesses, magnifying His grace. We had an excellent testimony meeting. Many were on their feet, 6 and 8, waiting their turn. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. Again, I spoke to the crowd on Wednesday. The congregations are very large, even in our weekday meetings. I spoke upon the subject of Christian temperance, the importance of taking into consideration that we are the Lord's property. We are bought with a price, and that price is beyond computation. Here comes the weighty subject, the Son of God clothing His divinity with humanity and leaving His heavenly home, His heavenly riches, and for our sakes becoming poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich, rich in possession of a valuable Christ-like character that shall give us a welcome as members of the royal family, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. By beholding Him, beholding and dwelling upon things pure and clean and lovely, we become changed. We encourage the mind to be attracted to these things. To keep the mind fresh, clean, uplifted, requires a persevering course of training. The Word declares that unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Titus 1, verse 15. If the Lord bids one bear His message among the lower classes, as city missionaries are often obliged to do, he is and must be oft where he will behold things that are impure and defiling. But even in such a place, if he carries Christ-likeness in his mind and remembers that he is doing service to God, wherever he goes, he has the assurance Christ is by his side, and angels of God are round about him. It is not the disgusting scenes and filthiness he observes, but he is watching and studying ways of saving these poor souls from ruin by relieving their wretchedness. He is beholding the probabilities of their learning through Christ-like love and pity to present things that are high and holy and secure as many souls as possible to cooperate with the efforts he is putting forth to restore the moral image of God in man. Man must cooperate with God, else he can do nothing with Him. This is the work every Christian must not shrink from doing. But very many have not this kind of labor. It would be to the danger of their souls. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales.
Last evening, there was a large crowd of people in the tent and outside. Oh, that the warning messages from the Lord may have influence to turn some souls from error to truth. Meetings are held every day and are well attended. Oh, that the light might break through the darkness which has enveloped the minds of the people, and they look unto Jesus, the refuge prepared for them. Oh, that they may run into it and be safe. Oh, that in this very opportunity and privilege granted them, they may learn that all their lower desires are to be regulated and subordinated and controlled by the obedience they owe to God. To cultivate and improve all the God-given faculties to perfect a character for the higher life, which is eternal. Then will the glory of God be kept in view. The very best thoughts will be cherished and cultivated with persevering energy, for their personal advantage, for the good of others, and for the honor of God, whose they are by creation and redemption. God calls for far more than created beings are disposed to give Him, who should be all and in all to them. How can we make the people understand the cultivation and development of the higher spiritual life, which is not bound up with the things of time and sense, but is viewed in the light of sanctified obedience of all the powers to God? Every indulgence of selfishness makes it harder to free the soul from its trammels. Just the selfishness sown will be the selfishness reaped. This morning the meeting was very interesting. There were many faithful testimonies born. The outside interest is great and seems to be increasing. There are those who hear with amazement. They say, "I never heard such things before. I am astonished at the words I hear." Their words make the Bible shine forth in a rich luster. Oh, will they obey the truth which holds their interest?
Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. I have an appointment to meet all our ministers and leading workers in the reception tent. I have matters which are traced in my diary at Ashfield Camp Meeting in 1894, which will, if known, help some to take heed to be very careful in their words and in their deportment. We met at 5:30, and I read many pages of that which the Lord had presented to us at that camp meeting. Then I bore a very plain testimony to correct existing evils that would lead to serious consequences. Confessions were made, and all seemed to feel that the Spirit of God had appealed to them in the testimony given. Elder Daniels expressed himself as greatly relieved. All who spoke seemed to feel it was a great blessing to have their mistakes and dangers laid open before them. But this duty was done at great cost to myself. I returned to my room, and for some hours my heartache was so intense it seemed to me I could not live. But the Lord mercifully gave me rest and relief in my efforts to lay my burden upon Him. I was afflicted with physical suffering throughout the day. All day was a day of much labor upon the campground. Elder Haskell conducted the morning meeting with a Bible class, which report says was very interesting. Meeting in evening was large, and the discourse from Brother Farnsworth interesting. There seemed to be no abatement of the interest. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. I was quite weary. Brother Haskell spoke in the forenoon to a crowded tent. The Lord has given him His word to speak to the people, and truth is spoken as a reality. I felt scarcely able to address the large audience upon the Sabbath, but the Lord strengthened me to present before parents their solemn accountability to their children. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Genesis 5, verse 1. The missing link between beast and man we need not be particular to search for. It is not in the natural world of living. Only as man himself makes it through the indulgence of liquor and tobacco and all kinds of vice which he greedily enters into. Then it is that the beasts may well refuse to own him. He places himself far below the brute creation. Man was not made in the likeness of any of the highest of the beasts that God created. God has given us the knowledge of where the likeness link is to be found. It is not from beneath, but from above, the highest model. The link connecting man in the chain of living beings is plainly specified. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Verse 1. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Psalm 8, verse 5, 6. This model in its fullest sense belongs to the Son of Man. When the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, God became one with man. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12, 14. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. John 10, verse 30. Thus through Christ man is brought into oneness with the Father, and we have fellowship and relationship to God. Fathers and mothers should cooperate with God and teach their children to know God, whom to know aright is life eternal. Then they will, in a most sacred sense, educate their children from their infancy to reject the evil and choose the good. It is by patient continuance in well-doing that the parents, seeking for glory, honor, and immortality, will teach their children the lesson. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales. The meetings in the tent continued larger in numbers than at any previous time. Brother Crothers had a long conversation with me. I begged a respite, for I was far from being strong, and must take my place to speak to the people in the afternoon. Oh, how helpless I felt, how utterly weak, compassed with infirmities, yet not daring to express unbelief by drawing back. I could only say over and over again, "Without Thee, my Savior, I can do nothing. Become my strength. I may venture only because Thou hast promised, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. I dared not open my lips to say to anyone, I am weak, will you take my place? Lest I give the enemy advantage over me. Yet sensing my own littleness, I said, Lord, I will go not in my own strength, but in thy strength. Thou canst strengthen me. I saw before me a tent packed full, and a large number as a wall upon the outside of the tent. The children had been gathered into tents to be instructed by teachers, that more seats might be made for older persons. The Lord strengthened my heart, which had been severely taxed, and suffered much pain from the exercise of the message I had to bear on Friday morning. I could only repeat, Let the people see thy divine greatness, and let not my littleness be made apparent. The Lord be praised, the attention and interest of the people was held to the very close. I spoke 1 hour and 20 minutes. There was no confusion from the outside. I felt grateful to the Lord that he granted me his strength, and gave me words to speak, and voice and strength to utter these words. All the results must be left with him. Our Lord Jesus, who took human nature, knows all about our infirmities and bears them for us, without effacing one ray of his divine glory. God created all things out of nothing by the word of his power. Oh, how weak is our faith! Why do we hesitate to venture in asking God for large things when we are restored to his fellowship through Jesus Christ?